877-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
I tried to contact another friend of mine that I sang in the same gospel group with him. I'm trying to get him saved. He's a rock and roll star here. But I haven't been able to reach him yet, but young people know him as Johnny Taylor. But now in the 19th chapter, 1 Kings, the 4th verse. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 4th verse. 4th and 5th verses. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." On behalf of the young people, well as the adults tonight, I want to share this message with you. Down in the dumps with the blues. Down in the dumps with the blues. Now, this might sound a little bluesy to you, being a subject of a message, but as we go into the depths of the message tonight, we're going to find that everybody has had some good days and we have had some bad days. We have had some ups and then we have had some downs. We have had some trials and we have had some tribulations. What I'm really saying, everybody's been down in the dumps. And we're going to find out that many times we had a case of the blues. But before dealing with that blues term, I better look at the term blues. No one can really give a direct definition for the blues, but we do know it has to do with a sad feeling. Now, the blues will be one thing to some folk and another thing to other folk. For example, to the drunkard, the blues is when he cannot get a bottle. To the dope addict, the blues is when he cannot get a fix. To the gambler, the blues is when his money runs out. To the liar, the blues is when he doesn't have anybody to lie to. Cigarette smoker. The blues is when he has smoked up all of his cigarettes and can't get any more. Now this just for the record's sake, I'm sure we don't have any of these here in Dallas, Texas, but to the snuff dipper. The blues is when he has dipped up all of his snuff and can't get any more. To the Christian, the blues is when he doesn't have a church home. To the preacher, the blues is when he doesn't have anywhere to preach. We all have had a case of it. But we all have had some good days and then we have had some bad days. Now we have Elijah under consideration tonight.
Yeah.
And I'd like to look at Elijah as we have read from the text.
Yeah.
We would like to look at him, first of all, during his good days.
Yeah.
During Elijah's good days, he carried heaven's key in his pocket for 3 years and 6 months.
Yeah. All right.
He lifted a dead boy to life one day. These were some good days.
Yeah, that's right.
Not only that, but he had a great victory on Carmel. He had a quiet walk to the little station beyond the Jordan where the heavenly limit that met him and took him home. These were some good days. But now we want to look at Elijah down in the dump.
Yes.
With the glue.
Yes.
Now, when you're down in the dump, it's really not anything hurting you. You just don't feel good.
Yes.
I've heard that term all my life, but down in the dump is just a lazy feeling. You know, you're not sick enough to go to the doctor, huh? And you're not well enough to get up out of the bed.
Yes.
You're just drowsy.
Yeah. All right.
And we notice here Elijah, after Elijah's victory and success, we're going to find him down in the dump.
Yeah.
Now, some people have said that Elijah was very pessimistic.
Yeah.
He was a negative man, but not really intentionally so.
Yeah.
Elijah was a man who thought on the positive side.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we mean well,
yeah,
we do our worst.
All right.
One such woman who was very pessimistic and negative,
yeah,
they asked her how did she feel that particular day. And she said, I feel good today.
Yeah.
But I always feel the worst when I feel the best. Because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I get to feeling bad again. You know, a lot of people can feel good today, but they feel bad when they feel good. Because they're thinking about how bad they might feel on tomorrow. That's looking on the wrong side of life.
Right.
A man should always look to the bright side. I don't want to lose any of you, but I'm from the country, and I just told you that a few minutes ago, but we used to have to draw water. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
You young people might not know too much about a bucket and a well, but it was once said that two buckets went to the well one day to get some water, and one of the buckets said, it breaks my heart to think that however full we go away from the well, we always come back empty. And the other bucket laughed and said, I was congratulating myself on the fact that however empty we come to the well, we always go back full. There are two sides to life. It behooves us as young people to look on both sides and always look to the brighter side. There was a man once who was convicted in the armed forces because he was a discourager. He was always looking at the bad side. Many times they would be sent out on missions and he would predict that nobody would get back. You know, a discourager can hinder progress. And this man was convicted because he was a discourager. He refused to see anything hopeful. And this kind of person is always dangerous to progress. We have a lot of people like that in the church. Now, first of all, here we look at Elijah, as we go back to Elijah, as being tired. We can imagine the days preceding the great test upon Karma. These were some toilsome and restless days. Then came the great day of contest and victory. I'm sure Elijah had to put forth a lot of preparation before the great contest. I can think about Mr. Bradshaw. I can think about before a big football game, before the Super Bowl. You had to put forth extra preparation. And most teams, when they get ready for a big game, they really work out hard. So I'm sure Elijah put forth some special preparation just before my come. So he had a lot of teaching. And therefore, his nerves were on the edge. And after the victory, it is said that he ran before the chariot of Ahab from Karma to Jezreel, which is a distance about 17 miles. So now, if I'd run two blocks sometime, and I can imagine Elijah running some 17 miles, he must have been sure enough tired. So we do have evidence here that he was a tired man. And you know, it's dangerous to make decisions when you're tired. It's dangerous to do anything when you're tired. So we notice here Jezebel's threat totally upset Elijah. When he got to Jezreel, he got a message from Jezebel threatening his life. And immediately he felt like he had been a failure in life. And you know, it's bad when you have won the victory and then you think you've lost. It's bad when you don't know when you won. It is said there were some soldiers at the end of World War II, when the war was over. It is said that there were some soldiers still fighting. Some even lost their lives after the war was over. They had not received the news that the war had ended. United States had won the war and they were still fighting. It's bad when you don't know you won. So Elijah here had already been victorious. He had won the battle. But he was down in the dumps and so upset until little Weasley Jezebel's threat upset his life. Isn't that right? And for the first time, he gave away to fear. This tension drove him down the road to the juniper tree. He sat there down in the dump with the blues, we call it. You see, tiredness had a lot to do with this. It is hard for a man to be hopeful when his nerves are on the edge. He usually will take a case of the blues. And then there is something else that we need to notice. You see, a woman can send the blues up on a man quicker than anything. And if you notice the message tonight, Jezebel had something to do with the blues being sent up on Elijah. Now, if you want to catch a case of the blues right now, a woman can give them to you. A woman can leave you, and that will give you the blues. And many times she can come back, and that will give you the blues. And had a bluesy mood was because the loss of his divine fellowship. Before this incident, every step that Elijah would make was ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But Jezebel's threat made him feel that he ought to look out for himself. He took things in his own hands. And this always leads down the road to the juniper tree. Anytime you take things in your own hands. We look at how many church people today leave the church because they get angry with someone. Is that right? Many, this is the reason we have so many lonely people. Because they have left the divine presence of God. Paul said, when difficulties come, be of good cheer. You see, when the blues hit you, you can't do nothing right. You can't look right. You can't walk right. You can't preach right. You can't talk right. You can't drive your car right. You can't do nothing right. Is that right? And Elijah here felt that he had been a total failure. I hear him say here, I'm no better than my father. They allowed Israel to drift into idolatry. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever felt that everything you seem to do is wrong? Have you ever felt like that? Some folk work and nobody brags on them. Seems like the more you work, the less appreciation people show. Have you ever been like this? Sometimes it feels like, it seems like you are doing all the work and somebody else is getting all the credit. If you're not careful, it will send you all the way down in the dump. And many times, if you don't watch out, you feel like giving up in life. Is that right? I've seen so many young folk. We had a young girl not too long ago in our church. Because she was down in the dump. She attempted to commit suicide, a teenager. Said she felt like she was the black sheep in the family. Paul said, be of good cheer when difficulties come. But now there's a cure to being down in the dump. Now Elijah felt so useless he wanted to die. But I don't really believe he really meant that, because if he really wanted to die, Jezebel could have taken care of that. But you know, a man is in a bad fix when he wants to die. When a man wants to give up everything in life and just die, he's in a bad fix. Because that's one thing you don't have to worry about dying. You're going to do that. The Lord knows when. It's bad, as I said, to make important decisions when you are in the blue. You say things many times you don't mean. Some of the worst mistakes I made was when I was tired. Some of the worst decisions I made was when I was tired. But we notice here, God cured Elijah by letting him sleep. So rest must have been the answer. And I'm here tonight to tell you the answer to many of our problems is rest. The reason some young I'm out in the streets now. He needs resting from something. The reason somebody tonight cannot support the church the way the Lord would have yet. We need a rest. Elijah never did get back to normal until the Lord called a deep sleep upon him. And when he woke up, everything was all right. Some people need to rest from idleness. You see, you can rest from doing something, and then you can rest from doing nothing. Isn't that right? Somebody needs to rest from alcohol. Wish they had a witness here tonight. Somebody needs to rest from dope. But excuse me right along here. Somebody needs to rest from lying. You know, I said in one message, some folk lie just to be lying. You know, people have always lied. The old folk wouldn't just tell a downright lie on you. They had to have a good reason. But you know, people now will lie on you even if they don't know you. It just thrills some folk to lie. Some folk go to bed lying. Wake up in the morning lying. Go on that job lying. But I'm here to tell you we need to take a rest. Do I have a witness here? Sometimes, brother preachers, I've gone to the church. I've been tired and broken down. My father has always told me, every so often you need to get away and rest. Jesus believed in getting away. God made the whole world, and he took a rest. Isn't that right? The sermons that I preached seemed like anything wasn't doing any good. Time I felt like all I was doing was just useless time. But the Lord speaks to me tonight. All you need to do is just rest. And when you have a rested mind, your whole outlook is different. Who is the hell with me? We're living in a tired world, and we just need to rest. I had a good friend of mine who was about to walk off and leave his church, came to the understanding all he needed was a rest. And sometimes the reason church is not enjoyable to us is because of what happened the night before. You know, it's hard to preach to a person that has stayed up all night Saturday night. It's hard for a sleepy person to understand that Jesus is the King of Kings. Understand that?
Go ahead, sir.
It's hard for a person with a hangover to understand that the Lord will open up windows and pour you out blessings. But I've come tonight, young folk, to tell you that there is a way out. It doesn't matter tonight what your life is, there is a way out. And it doesn't matter what kind of family background you have, just remember that you are somebody. Everything and everybody that the Lord made, he put some good in it. Isn't that right? And don't feel left out. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter who you are. You have a place in life. Don't give up. And don't let anybody fool you because you are somebody. And I'm going to have to move on here to close the night. But I'm reminded of an old lady who had only one child. This old lady was a very poor lady. And she had one little girl. And it was a little girl's desire when she would grow up to go off to college. But all through life, her mother told her, I don't see how you're going to do it. But by the help of the Lord, if you have determination, the Lord will fix it so you can be somebody in life. And one morning early, the little girl got up and said, Mama, you know, in just a few weeks now, I will be graduating from high school.
All right.
And the mother said, I read about a college that you can work your way through because you know we don't have any money.
All right.
And when she had graduated, the little girl got up that morning and started packing in her clothes. Didn't even have a suitcase. But she had an old white bag that she put her two or three little pieces in. And went on down to the bus station. And went on up to college. And the little girl was not able to come back home doing a holiday break. Because she had to stay on the campus and work. And it got mighty hard down there because other girls and boys would have visitations from their parents and friends. But day by day, this little girl never did receive any mail. Didn't even have a visitor. And one night, the little girl came in and decided to write her mother a letter. And she picked up the pen and began to write. Said, "Dear Mama, I feel like I'm nobody. I feel like giving up. I feel so useless. The teachers are always bragging on other girls and boys. But nobody ever brags on me." And her mother was very depressed when she got the letter. And realizing the next day was a little girl's birthday. And the old lady had saved some emergency money. And the next morning early, she got up and said, "I'm going to see about my child." And she walked on the college campus that day and saw a little girl sitting there in the chair. And the little girl ran and embraced her mother and said, "Mama, I didn't mean for you to strain up and come down here." And she said, "Well, you know you're my child and my only child. And it disturbed me when I read about you feel like giving up. It broke my heart to hear my child say that she feel like that she is nobody." Said, "Did you not know the day is your birthday? And I brought you a gift here." And the little girl was so happy, tears began to run all down her eyes. Book and came out with a little brown bag, a little brown bag. She came out with a little brown bag. She said, "I have in this bag a birthday gift for you." And the little girl was so nervous, she couldn't hardly open the bag.
All right.
And other girls were standing around waiting to see what she had for her birthday. Oh, yeah. She ran her hand down in the bag, but she was too weak to pick it up, and everybody was just standing there. And then she ran her hand back down in the bag, and still couldn't come out with the gift. Oh, yeah. And then finally she came out, and guess what she had in her hand? She had nothing but an onion in her hand. And the girls around her started laughing. Said, "Your mama brought you an onion down here. And said, this is your birthday gift." And she looked up at her mama and said, "Mama, why would you embarrass me so and bring in a useless onion?" And the old lady said, "Well, sit down a while, all of you college students. Been to school a day in my life, but I want to teach all of y'all a class. Said, I've noticed you said that you feel like that you're nobody. And I brought this onion here to give you a lesson on. Said, I've heard of poems being written about flowers. And I've heard of poems being written
about trees and birds that fly in the sky. But I've never heard of nobody